Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Round Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and I'm flying solo today. Unfortunately, Carlos can't be with me right now. So let's just quickly go into these prelims. So we started the night with Felipe Colares picking up the decision against Luke Sanders. Another decision in the middleweight division with Andreas Michailidis picking up the win over KB Buller. Third decision of the night for Loma Luke Boomme against Sam Hughes in the women's strawweight division. And then yet another decision in the flyweight division for the women's. Luana Carolina picking up the decision against Pollyanna Battaglio. Another decision, TJ Brown getting the rub over Kakamaka in the featherweight. And then we ended the prelims with a disqualification win for Liana Pinheiro against Randa Marcos. Going on to the main card, and yet again, we start with a decision victory. Although this one was had a lot more action in it than perhaps some of the fights on the prelims. We had Mirab Dvashvili taking on Cody Stammen in the bantamweight division, and these Georgians with Stammen and Chikadze, just massive hitters. And really, really well-rounded fighters. Dvashvili started very, very bright, throwing flurries of punches, going in for the takedowns. He ends up getting Cody Stammen to the ground, but Cody was able to quickly get back to the feet. But when it was on the feet, Dvashvili was landing great punches in and out, getting those quick jabs in. Stammen did well to try and take Dvashvili down a couple of times during this first 5 minutes. Unfortunately, Dvashvili's speed and his sprawling ability was able to kind of put pay to that. But as the round got on, you could see that Stammen was getting a little bit more confident. He was landing some bigger shots, but then Dvashvili was still landing some huge shots of his own. Going into the second, we see Stammen going for the clinch, trying to drag Dvashvili down to the floor, which didn't really work out well for Stammen, because it meant that Dvashvili was able to slam with a hammer fist from his back before getting back to his feet. Stammen had a better second round than he did the first. He was landing a lot more of his own stuff, but Dvashvili was able to, as and when he chose, to change levels, grab the neck, go for the guillotine. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to quite pull it off for the submission, but the way he was able to switch from striking to grappling and takedowns was an absolute joy to watch. We saw a beautiful head and arm throw from Dvashvili, but got to give credit to Cody Stammen. He was up on his feet pretty much as soon as he was thrown to the ground. So yeah, I've got to give him props for that. Going into the third, I felt that Stammen probably needed a finish. And whilst he did have a good third round, he was able to land more shots, more kicks. He was still being tagged quite a lot by Dvashvili. There was a point where Stammen went for a flying knee when it looked like he was being stalked by Dvashvili. But unfortunately, it just whether it made the slightest contact or Dvashvili was able to kind of like just brush it off, it didn't seem to affect Mirab that much. I think that Stammen finished this round really, really strong. Was able to get Devashley down to the floor. Devashley just managing to get to the feet just before the end. Like I said, I think that was Stammen's best round, but for me, the decision was fair. Mirab really kind of outworked Corey Stammen, and I thought that he picked up a well-deserved victory. Interesting that he called out Dominic Cruz straight after the fight as well. So going into the second fight on this main card in the middleweight division, we had Christoph Jocko taking on Sean Strickland. And this was, for me, it was a very one-sided fight. Sean Strickland landing huge, huge shots. We started with Jocko being quite bright and fresh at the beginning, landed a big left, but Strickland was just walking through a lot of Jocko shots, and he was just landing the jab and the follow-up right behind it. He was just really crisp and on point with his shots. We got a couple of times where he went in for a flurry and really kind of hurt Jocko, but he wasn't able to get that finish in the first round. Going into the second, and Strickland again was just, it was just like a killer. Just took his time, really patient with his shots, didn't waste any movement or any energy. Whereas you watch Jocko and he was the total opposite. He was bouncing around, moving his hands and his head a lot, trying to not stay in one position, but yet Strickland was still able to land the shots that he wanted, and he was so accurate with the jabs, and then started adding in some body kicks and leg kicks. Whilst they weren't exactly damaging, it was just the sheer volume from Strickland that was kind of beating Jocko. Going into the third, I think Jocko knew that he again, pretty much like the first fight, he knew that he needed a finish, and he came out very bright and aggressive. And whilst he did try and push the pace in this third round, it didn't take long for Strickland to be the one controlling again and dominating, throwing massive heavy shots. And Jocko was just not be able to land that killer blow. He did try a few times for the big left, but Strickland just absolutely walked through it. We get to the final klaxon, and yeah, I couldn't argue with the judge's decision that Strickland got the unanimous decision. It was a solid performance by him. Let's go to the middle of the card and the fight with the most hype and the most controversy from this card. If you recall from the weigh-ins, Ion Kutalaba and Dustin Jacoby having a bit of a tussle, a bit of a harmony, a collar and neck tie-up. Throwing each other about. Ironic that Dana White was the person mediating that when he gave Sean Shelby a lot of grief for the push recently, and yet he wasn't able to control these two fighters, but that's the way of the UFC, I suppose. Kutalaba was very, very aggressive in this first round. Dustin Jacoby was, his shots were clean when he landed them, but Kutalaba wanted to really kind of control the pace, got the early takedown, but Jacoby was able to spring back up. Kutalaba was able to control Jacoby's body and wrapped him up, got him back down to the floor. But unfortunately, Jacoby, whilst he was able to get back to his feet, he wasn't able to break that grip of Kutalaba. And he was able to take down Jacoby pretty much at will, but Jacoby was able to get straight back up. A couple of times he did use the fence to kind of like pull himself up. I think he picked up a couple of warnings from the ref for grabbing hold of the fence. Kutalaba landed some good elbows, And he spent this basically this first round smothering Dustin Jacoby. We go into the second, and again we go straight for the takedown again from Kutalaba. Almost got knocked out with a kick with it, but he still was able to get the takedown. Kutalaba yet again though was not able to keep Jacoby down, and Jacoby was able to get back to his feet. Then we started to get a little bit of actually on the feet action. Jacoby was landing a good few jabs. Kutalaba was trying to kind of like walk through him to get in that dirty boxing zone where he was able to land a few shots, but just was not able to get close enough. So he went for another takedown, but this time Jacoby was able to sprawl and turn away from it. Couple of minutes to go in the fight, and we see that Jacoby was just landing more and more of those jabs. Kutalaba was looking for the big shots, but unfortunately they were telegraphed by Jacoby. We see that that Jacoby is actually starting to really damage Kutalaba's. There's a cut underneath Kutalaba's eye opens up. Going into the third again, Jacoby was very aggressive with the jabs, and Kutalaba was looking for that big knockout shot. He did end up landing a few big hits, but Jacoby fired back with shots of his own. Kutalaba was you could tell there was a lot of bad blood in this from Kutalaba. He was looking to really finish Jacoby with a highlight reel knockout, but he was just not able to pull it off, and Jacoby picked him apart with the jabs and the laser accurate striking that he had. Kutalaba started to land a few big right hands at the end, but Jacoby's chin was able to take them on. We see a cool little jumping knee from Jacoby, but that gives Kutalaba the opening for him to go for the takedown again. But Jacoby stuffs that, is able to switch on the outside, and he's actually the one in control then. Goes for the single leg, but Kutalaba is able to stuff that and get out of the way. Jacoby gets a late takedown right at the end of the fight, finishes the fight on top. And then the refs, I mean, the judges, ironically, after all the bad blood, after all the talk and the essentially the wrestling at the weigh-ins, we get a split decision draw, which is really interesting. One of the judges giving it 29-28 to Kutalaba, one giving it 29-28 to Jacoby, and the third one giving it 28-28. Very interesting result, and I'm sure that means that we'll see this one run back again. I mean, it was a really interesting fight anyway, so I would be fully happy to see these two square off again. So after cards full of decisions and fights going the distance, Giga Chikadze, knockout king, felt like he didn't want to keep that trend going. So in his fight against Cub Swanson here in the co-main event in the featherweight division, he finished it in just over a minute. So he starts with a low kick. Cub Swanson is a veteran in these streets, but he started with his hands low, which I think is a risk against somebody like Chikadze, who can hit you from any angle. He's got such a dynamic range of attack and such speed as well. So if you're not protecting yourself, and you've got your hands down, you're going to get hit, and that's exactly what happened to Cub Swanson. Cub tried to swarm Chikadze and was really kind of aggressive, but Chikadze was able to counter with some good uppercuts, landed a kick to the liver, just beautiful shot, and you could see straight away that hurt Cub. He went down onto the floor screaming in pain. Chikadze thought that the fight was over, but Jason Herzog said no, we've got to carry on. Chikadze went in, landed a few shots. I think that's when Jason realised that Cub's fight was over. He pulls Chikadze off Cub, and it's a big victory for Giga Chikadze. He's now 6-0 I think in the UFC. Really kind of making a name in that featherweight division, and he clearly can't be that far away from a title shot. I mean, Cub Swanson, like I said, he's a veteran. He's very much a gatekeeper now in this division, but it's still a huge name to get a victory over. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Chikadze goes after this. So then into the main event in the lightweight division, former title contender Dominic Reyes on a bit of a losing streak now, unfortunately, and yeah, it seems like he's going the way of Dan Hardy, where he really kind of like fought his way to the top of the card with a good string of victories, and then since getting the title shot, he's dropping down pretty quickly. I think this will be his third loss on the bounce after losing to Bones. Yeah, and he was totally outclassed in this fight. First round, he actually looked quite bright to start off with, and again, kind of like Cub Swanson, Jiří Procházka had his hands quite low down, but the guy hits like a steam train. Reyes had started with kicks to the body and the legs, and his movement was looking really, really fresh. But it was when Prochazka was able to land that first big shot, it shook Reyes with a massive right hand. He was able to kind of like regather his thoughts and stay out of danger, but he started then swinging wildly for the fences. But Prochazka knew that he had Reyes hurt and didn't want to kind of jump the gun almost. Didn't want to go in and put himself at risk with a damaged opponent. He took his time, landed some huge shots, landed a massive uppercut. Reyes again, like I said, he was swinging wildly, but I've got to give props to him. His chin was holding out. He was taking some massive shots, and was still able to land a couple of shots of his own, but. The bell did save Reyes at the end, because Prochazka was hunting him and landing some massive shots. Coming into the second, and again Reyes started the more aggressive, landed some shots to the body, was able to land a couple of big lefts, but he kept, for some reason, I don't know why, he kept trying to stick his chin out, almost trying to bait Jiří Procházka into landing an uppercut, which was, for someone who took such a whooping in the first round, you'd think that would be a pretty bad move. Procházka was able to land a clean shot and bust Reyes's nose, attempts a flying knee which just misses. Gets a couple of left shots off, and fair play to Reyes, he was able to land a lot of his own counter shots, but you could see that Jiri was understood that he hurt Reyes. He walks into a massive left hand from Reyes, and that wobbles him a little bit. But he goes for the guillotine and falls onto his back. Reyes looked like he may have the guillotine cinched in. And we all know Prochaska's got that samurai warrior style hair with the top knot, which looked like it was actually going to be a hindrance to him of being able to get out. But he was able to pop his head out, able to land some shots from the top. Prochaska trying to posture up. He gets hit with an up kick, quite similar to the up kick that Randa Marcos hit, that got herself disqualified in the featured prelim. But the fight ends up going back to its feet, and we start seeing a bit of a blitz from Prochaska, really kind of pounding Reyes with shots up against the cage, and then he opens up for a little bit of space, hits a spinning elbow which lands clean on Reyes' chin, and Reyes is absolutely out for the count and face plants the canvas for the second round knockout. And Jiří Prochaska has been promised that this fight will lead to a title shot against Jan Blachowicz. So what a massive victory. I think that's only his second fight in the UFC, but that's a huge statement. And the slide of Dominic Reyes is continuing, unfortunately, after such a great performance against Bones, where a lot of people thought he should have maybe got the victory, and now unfortunately he's 0-3 in his last three fights. But yeah, that's how UFC Fight Night Vegas 24 or UFC on ESPN 23, whatever they name these shows, ended. Next week we were going to have Diego Sanchez and TJ Dillashaw on the card, but after this week's news with the UFC about Diego Sanchez being cut and TJ Dillashaw having an injury forced him out of his fight, we've actually only got one fight named for next week's card up to press, even though there's less than a week to go. It's Park Jun Young against Tafon and Chukwi, but I'm sure the UFC will fill out this card over the next few days. So yeah, listen out for that next week. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. Follow my absent co-host Carlos at Kirby_Carlos. Definitely go and follow the teams at Shooting the Sports Ish, at Visionaries Global Media, and at Chairshot Media for all their unwavering support for five rounds. Thank you all for your support, and thank you all for listening. And that is the end.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.